You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
Acts chapter 26 this morning. We're going to be looking at verses 12 through 20. These verses are part of a larger kind of section in chapter 26 where Paul is defending his faith. Finally, after a couple of years of waiting for his opportunity, he's now not only talked to Festus, now he's talking to King Agrippa, and he's having an opportunity to share his testimony. This is our last sermon in our sermon series called The Life on Mission from Saved to Sent. It won't be the last time you hear about it, but it is the last time we're talking about it. This is week 5. And we have learned that God is a sending God, that he sent his son to this earth, and his son has also sent us. We were reminded that we are sent into the world as salt and light. We have been encouraged by looking at the early example of the church that some are to be set apart and sent out. We have been challenged that the harvest is plentiful. We should be praying for laborers to go into that harvest, and we should be consider being sent out ourselves. Now, just to be clear, crystal clear, right? When we talk about life on mission from saved to sent, we're not talking about two separate categories of people. There aren't like saved people over here and sent people over here, right? Right? I just want to be really clear. Got to be clear, right? When we're talking about life on mission, it's not about saved people over here and sent people over here. You say, well, yeah, I'm saved. I'm part of that category. And those people are part of the sent category. That's amazing. I love the fact. This is great, great. It's these two categories. It's not about two categories. It's about this. If you're saved, you are, right? So if you're saved, you're sent. Not, I'm saved, they're sent. So it's very, very important that we know that. Because we are saved, we are sent. Because we are saved in Christ, we are sent for Christ. Now, this is clear. You know, disciples of Jesus live a life on mission. They live life on mission for Jesus Christ. That's the Great Commission. And there are lots of different ways that that could play out in your life. But the reality is this. If you are saved, you are sent. God might call you to send you to go overseas to an unreached people group to see churches planted where people have never even heard of the name Jesus before. Or maybe he will call you one day to go and plant a church somewhere in Canada so that the gospel can be heard in a town or a city where it is really not that pronounced today. Or maybe he'll send you to live on mission for him in your business, in your neighborhood, or your home, or maybe all of the above. But here's the point. When Jesus saves us, he sends us. John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And this morning, what I want us to see from Acts chapter 26 is this, that we are sent on purpose. We are sent for a purpose. And it's time for us to fulfill our God-given purpose. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 26, verse 12 to 20. Paul has just said in verse 11 about the fact that he had been persecuting Christians. And it says in verse 12, in this connection, that is connected to the idea that I've been persecuted. I went on a trip to Damascus. I journeyed to Damascus, King Agrippa, with the authority and commission of the chief priest. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven brighter than the sun that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you. And I'm sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. The word of the Lord. We are sent for a purpose, and it's time for us to fulfill our God-given purpose. Notice this first. We are sent to the lost, and it's time to go. Again, I've already mentioned this. Paul was defending himself before King Agrippa and Festus. This has been a long ordeal for him. He's giving his testimony about what happened to him on the road to Damascus. You can read about that earlier in the book of Acts. He was persecuting the church. It turns out that he was also fighting Jesus, even though he may not have been aware of that at the time. And all of a sudden at noontime, I love how it says this here in the text, a bright light from heaven, brighter than the sun, appeared. It's noontime, right? It's, in other words, the sun doesn't get any brighter than at noontime. And he makes this point. It's at noontime with a bright sun out, and yet there was this light that was even brighter than the sun. It just shone down right on me. It was on me. And so you see him, he's explaining to King Agrippa his conversion to Jesus, to being a follower of Jesus, and also his calling to something else. In other words, he is saved and he is sent. He's saved and he's sent. In verse 16, Jesus specifically says to him, he says, I've appeared to you for this purpose. I'm going to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you. I've appeared to you for this purpose. I've given you a purpose, Paul. This is what your purpose is. You're going to be a servant and you're going to be my witness. And then he says in verse 17, and I am going to rescue you. I'm going to deliver you from the Jews and the Gentiles who are going to try to kill you because you are going to be my witness and my servant. You read all about that in the book of Acts, too. He goes to all these different cities and places, and what happens? Well, some people believe and some people want to kill him. And Jesus says, I'm going to rescue you. I will deliver you from those things. You can talk all the times that God shows up and delivers him from riots and from stoning and from all these different kinds of things that take place in his life. And then he says this. And oh, by the way, I'm sending you to those same Gentiles. The ones who are going to try to kill you, those who I'm trying to send you to. He says, to whom I am sending you. Who are the Gentiles? Well, the simple answer would be to say, well, they're anyone who's not part of the nation of Israel, and that would be correct. But Paul actually talks differently about the Gentiles. You see in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, he says, when he's describing the Gentiles, he says, now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. He's talking to the church, Christians in the church at Ephesus, who used to be like this. And so he's saying to them, you should no longer walk as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their minds, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardness of their heart, and they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. When Paul's talking about Gentiles, he's not only trying to identify people who are not part of the nation of Israel, he's also saying they are lost. Lost. They don't have a clear understanding about God. They're alienated from God. They don't know. They don't care to know. They live for themselves. They live by their emotions and their feelings that rule the day for them. They lack a moral center in their lives, and it shows because of the way that they're living. And that's the description of the Gentiles and the world that Paul was sent to. And it is the exact same description of the people and the world that we are sent to. We live in a world full of lost people. We are saved to be sent to the lost. So it's time to go. You know, look at what Jesus says again to Paul. He says here in verse 17, he says, "To whom I am sending you." Last time I checked, when you're sent, part of being sent means you have to what? Go. Hey, it's Paul I'm sending, but if you want to hang around for a while, that's okay. No, that's not the way it works. Paul, I am sending you. Now you got to go, right? That's the implication here in this passage. And you say, whoa, slow down. Let's just slow down. Okay, slow down. I am not the Apostle Paul. And everybody in the church said, amen. You're not. You're not the Apostle Paul. And Jesus probably won't ask you to go and plant churches all around the world. And you know, everywhere you go, you know, you're preaching all these sermons and all this stuff. It may be true. Let's just get over that complex. Nobody here is the Apostle Paul. Our sending assignments and the destinations of those assignments might be different, but here's the point. As the Father has sent Jesus, Jesus is sending, and that means go. That means that we must go. We must go across the room to a loved one, or maybe we need to go across the street to a neighbor to care for them. We maybe need to go to a coworker who is in crisis to talk to them about Jesus. We must go. Why? Because you are saved, and because you're saved, you are what? Sent, and you're sent to the lost. We must go. We must go because if Jesus is calling you and sending you to go across this country and plant a church somewhere else, or if he's asking you to go to another country to be part of a church planting movement and to do that and to tell the lost about Jesus, then you better go. I am saved. We are saved, so we're sent, and we're sent to the lost. So that means we must go. Some of you are in your 20s and your 30s. You're making all of these critical life decisions. I mean, I think about all the life-shaping decisions that you make in your 20s and your 30s. Things like schools to go to, jobs to get. What's my career going to look like? Am I going to get married? How many kids are we going to have? All these different kinds of questions that you're pondering and asking. I'm thinking about those things. I'm just telling you this. Listen, you are saved. And you are sent. So that means you better go. And you should be praying and asking the Lord, 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 who is it that you're sending me to? Show me the person that you're sending me to and tell me where I'm supposed to go. Lord, please, please lead me, direct me. Don't leave this up to myself, Lord. I need you to direct me. Some of you are headed towards retirement. I'm kind of starting to think about that every once in a while. Never used to do that. 10 years ago, I swore I'd never retire. Some of you probably have this picture in your mind of retirement. Oh, it's going to be cool. You know, I'm going to sit in my backyard. I'll putz it around in my garden. You know, maybe I'll play golf once a week or whatever. Hey, you're saved. If you're saved, you're what?
Sent.
If you're sent, you have to go. To the lost, right? You go to the lost. This, like, being sent is not a stage of life thing. It's not even about giftedness. It's about obedience. It's about obedience. We are saved, so we are sent to the lost, and it's time to go. And so the question is, what are we sent to do? What are we sent to do? Well, look at the text. Verse 17 says, Jesus says to Paul, to whom I am sending you, to whom I am sending you. He's telling this to King Agrippa. He said, this is what Jesus told me. He's going to send me. And he's told me in verse 18 that I'm going to go to the Gentiles to open their eyes. Right? We are sent by Jesus to open the eyes of the lost. The idea of opening their eyes is just an indication that they are spiritually blind. They don't get it. They can't see it. They don't understand it. This actually, you know, the whole idea of opening eyes, it's the work of Jesus himself. If you look at Isaiah chapter 42, verse 7, it says, it's talking about the servant, right? The servant, all those servant songs in the Isaiah, which refer to the Messiah. And the Messiah is, we know, Jesus, right? So here's this verse is about Jesus. Jesus is going to open the eyes that are blind to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. This is what the Messiah was going to do. And Jesus kind of quotes this in Luke chapter 4 when he says this, when he's talking about his purpose, why he's here. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to what? Proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It's about what he's going to show, how he's going to do physical healing, yes, but it's talking about his spiritual healing, the movement. He's going to proclaim a message, and people are going to be released. They're going to be released from their spiritual blindness. And now he is saying to Paul, Paul, I want you to do that. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. As I have been sent to proclaim this message, to open the eyes of the blind, so I now am asking you to do the same thing. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, where Paul talks about this more specifically. He says, in their case, okay, he's talking about those who are perishing. He talks about this just in the verses right before this. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Now, who's the God of this world? Satan is the god of this world, and he has blinded the minds of unbelievers. How does he do that? He does that through deception and lies. He's the father of lies. Right? So in their case, those who are perishing, the god of this world, Satan himself, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Okay? They don't get it. They don't understand. They don't understand the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Okay, so we get it. There's people who are lost that don't understand their need for Jesus, and they don't understand the beauty of the gospel. What are we supposed to do? Look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, so Paul says, for what we proclaim then is not ourselves. You hear what he's saying? For what we proclaim then is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is what he's saying here in these verses. God does his supernatural work of opening the eyes of the lost through us sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. People need to know that God is a loving God that does not leave the guilty unpunished. God is loving, he is holy, he is righteous, and all human beings, all of us, are guilty of sin. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, sin is more, it is this, but it's more than just doing something wrong. It's actually at the heart of it is our rejection of God himself and his right to exercise authority over us. And because of that attitude, because of that activity in our lives, the wages, the result of that sin then is death, Romans 6:23. Eternal separation from God, a final destiny in a place called hell. And that's what we call the bad news. But everybody needs to know that. And then they need to hear the good news. The good news is that Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth on a mission sent by his heavenly Father to bring sinful people into God's kingdom. And how did he do that? He did that by dying in our place. He took the punishment that we deserve for our rebellion against God, and he died on the cross, taking the weight of all of our rebellion, all of our sins upon himself, and then taking the judgment that God has for our sin as well upon himself. And then he rose again after 3 days, proving his victory over sin and death itself. And he proved that what he said was true, that he was indeed and is indeed the way, the truth, and the life. And that demands of us a response, faith. Faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done. Not in what we can do, but in what he has done for us and repentance of our sin. And we are sent to share that gospel. That's where we are. We are saved to be sent. And we are sent to the lost so that they can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." That's the gospel. That you could proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Wow! Awesome. That's what we're called to do. Our joy is to share the gospel, and God in his will opens eyes. And Jesus hasn't asked us to try to do more than that. And certainly, we're not to do less. A couple weeks ago, I was walking around town. I do this every once in a while. You'll see me on a Friday morning or a Saturday morning walking around town. But I always have a disguise, so don't worry about it. Just kidding. Just 2 Fridays ago, I was walking around town, and I was really burdened with the fact that I really just sensed I wasn't having enough spiritual conversations with people. And when I say with people, I mean like people other than pastors, because that's who I kind of hang out with, you know, I kind of do that. So I do have spiritual conversations with pastors, but I actually wanted to, Lord, like I don't feel like I'm doing this enough. You know, Lord, I really want, and so I was really having a heart-to-heart conversation with the Lord about this. I'm walking along the sidewalk, and unbeknownst to me, there was a young man who was walking the other way on the sidewalk towards me. I didn't even recognize him at first, and he was just a few yards away from me, and all of a sudden, I heard him say, "Hey, what's that logo on your hat?" I'm like, whoa, kind of startled me a little bit, and I explained to him the logo on my hat, what it meant, and somehow, some way, our conversation got around to religion. Isn't that cool? He asked me a question. He said, "What's the difference between what Roman Catholics believe and what other Christians believe?" I said, "Okay." All right. There's no warm-up here. Let's just go. You know, really cool. So I started talking to him about the differences, how some people look at salvation differently. You know, some people think you need to earn it. You know, you have to try to do all these good works, and then the Lord will allow you to get into heaven. And so other people like me, I said, we believe that's just a gift. It's like a grace gift from God. He gives it to you. And I said, so I asked him, I said, what do you think about that? What do you think about, do you think it's what you can do or what Jesus has done? And he said to me, "Oh, it has to be earning." And I said, "Well, man, I'd be in trouble if that were the case." And then he turned and looked at me and he said, "Well, don't be so hard on yourself." Nobody's ever said, anybody that knows me would never say, "Don't be too hard on yourself." Like, don't be tired. So I just kept talking. I just was told him a little bit more about Jesus, how he died, how Jesus died on the cross for us, and that we could be forgiven because of our faith in Jesus. And I told him I'd be praying for him, and he said, "Wow, that's really cool. Thank you. I'm going to think about what you said." And that's how our conversation ended. And I turned around and I started to walk away, and I just bawled. First of all, because to think that God in his kindness would actually answer my prayer like that fast. I was just overwhelmed by that. And second of all, it doesn't always work this way for me. Like, guaranteed, I tell you, it doesn't always work this way. But I just really felt like when I left that conversation, I had done what Jesus asks us to do. Just share the gospel. Let me decide whether the eyes will be opened. Nothing more, nothing less. I love it when that happens. Doesn't always happen that way. You see, we are sent to open the eyes of the lost, and that happens only if the gospel is proclaimed. Thirdly, we are sent so the lost will turn. Look what it says in verse 18. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. That word turn means to turn back or turn from something. It's like you're headed in one direction and then all of a sudden you're pulled in the exact opposite direction. This is a picture of repentance. It's a 180-degree turn. And he says this, so that they will turn from darkness to light. I don't know if you have noticed this, but it's sometimes when it's dark, it's really hard to navigate things. You start to stumble around the room, you know, especially if it's a room that you're not used to and it's pitch black and you have to get up and do something. It hits something else. But you know what? After a while in the dark, you just kind of get used to it. And that's really the condition of people who are lost. They've just kind of gotten used to the darkness. But when the gospel is shared and when it's told, it's like reaching for the light switch in the room, and when the light goes on, all of a sudden you start seeing things differently. That's what Jesus does. If your eyes are truly opened by the Lord, then you don't want to go back to the dark because the light is just so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Jesus is absolutely amazing. To turn from darkness to light, to turn from the power of Satan to God, such a good reminder that there's more going on in our world and life than what we can see. There's this cosmic battle between the Lord and Satan himself, and we know the Lord wins. We know that to be true. Jesus wins. The gospel and the free gift of salvation leads us to repentance. And when we repent of our sin, we're no longer under the deceptions and the lies and the power of Satan. We're no longer Satan's slaves, but we're servants to the living King. And then he says this in verse 18. He says, we are not only sent so the lost will turn, we're sent so the lost will actually receive. They will receive forgiveness of sins. This is the very reason why Jesus was sent by the Father in the first place, to forgive us of our sins. So that we will receive forgiveness. We will receive a place among those who are sanctified. We will become part of God's family, the fellowship of the saints. And this is all possible by faith in me, Jesus says. This is the required response. Not by works, but by faith in Jesus and his finished work on the cross. We are sent so the lost will receive. Colossians chapter 1 says it this way. He's giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And if you've experienced this, you're saying, yes! This is awesome. And I could go around this room and ask you to give testimony to that fact. This is awesome, is it not? Delivered from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. He's paid the redemption price with his death so that we can experience the forgiveness of sins. Now declared to be righteous because of Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is of ours to be saved and to be sent to the lost, to actually share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the hope that God will open their eyes so that they will turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, to receive forgiveness of their sins and inheritance, to actually watch others experience what we have and are experiencing in Christ. We are sent for this purpose. It's time to fulfill our God-given purpose. Look at verse 19. So Paul says to King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Let me read that again. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. I was not disobedient. We are sent. Obey the one who has sent you. You know, most Christians don't struggle with the idea of being saved, but they wrestle with being sent. Why is that? We can all say it, right? If I'm saved, I'm sent. Sent to the lost to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why is it? Why is it that most Christians don't struggle with the idea of being saved, but they wrestle with being sent? Why is it? I don't know. There's lots of different reasons, perhaps. Lack of compassion. Maybe we're more frustrated with the world or judgmental towards others than compassionate, like Jesus was when he saw them as sheep without shepherd who were harassed. And his heart was filled with compassion for them. Maybe we're ashamed of the gospel. I don't want to share the gospel. If I share the gospel, I might get ridiculed. I might get misunderstood. I might suffer like the Paul was in the book of Acts. Maybe we fear man more than we fear God. Maybe we've lost our first love, our love for Jesus, the wonder of his grace, the salvation that he has given to us. Maybe we're just trying to serve two masters. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient. That's our decision. Our decision to make is the same thing that Paul had to make. It's a daily decision. I will not be disobedient to God's call in my life to be that I am saved and I am sent. I will go. I will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will be moved with compassion for the crowds of people who are sheep without a shepherd. I will pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out his laborers into his harvest. And I will answer the call and be sent. I will. We are sent for this purpose, and it's time for us to fulfill our God-given purpose. And the question is, will you? Will you? Because you are saved, and you are sent. Let's pray together. Father, I just ask in Jesus' name for a movement of your Spirit now, Lord. Please, Spirit, move. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminders in your word. Lord, please move in our hearts. Move us in the direction we need to go. I pray for those of us who profess that we are saved in Christ, Lord, and I pray that we would learn how to live a sent life. You, Jesus, came to this earth to die for us. You came. You were sent to do that. And so, Lord, now I pray that we will be willing to take that message, the life-changing gospel that transformed many of our lives, that we would be willing to take that now and see lives changed, eyes opened, people turning, people receiving all the blessings that could be theirs, Lord. So, Lord, please, please show us how to go, how to take the gospel, how to interact with others, Lord. I pray for those in our midst who have been wrestling over the last number of weeks, having a sense that God is calling them to maybe get up and to move somewhere else and to go somewhere else. They feel a call, whether it's to missions or whether it's to planting here in Canada or whatever it might be, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would give them the ability to say yes to you, Lord, and to go. And Lord, I ask for those in our midst even now, Lord, that do not know Jesus. Lord, I pray that even as they heard the gospel, that they would realize they are caught in darkness, and Lord, that you are the light. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, and for his glory and for his honor, that you would save them so they could be sent. They could go. They could proclaim the gospel to others as well. For your honor, for your glory, Lord, please. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.